Hey, New Life Church, welcome back to another great Sunday service online. I just want to welcome you. I tell you what, if we've not met, my name is Devin. I'm the lead pastor here at New Life Church in Kokomo, Indiana. Welcome to service online today. You know, at New Life Church, we are having in-person meetings Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. And we welcome all of those who are ready for an in-person service. For those that are being careful, we're so glad that you can connect with us in this way online. And thanks for joining us in worship. And I want you to continue to join us in worship with our generosity. And there's many ways you can give at New Life Church. You can give online at newlifeforkokomo.org, or you can send it in the mail to 1803 East Vale Avenue here in Kokomo, Indiana. You can even text the give by just texting New Life for Kokomo to 77977. You can text to give. I want to thank you for your generosity, continuing to help the ministry of New Life Church moving forward. And I tell you what, if you're new with us, maybe you and I haven't had an opportunity to meet, and you've not had an opportunity to be at an in-person service, I would love for you to just do one favor for me. Would you text the word connect to the number on the screen, 765-347-9127, and just to tell us hello. Text that number. We'll send you a digital form that you can fill out. We want to know who's watching, okay? So we want to know who's getting connected to New Life Church. So you do that, and our team will touch base with you and send you a form that you can fill out and tell us a little bit about who you are. And we want to give you some great next steps that you can take in your walk with Jesus. Well, last week we started our series that we're going to be doing throughout the month of July, and it's called The Third Person. And this is a series, a four-part series on the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. So this is a four-part series on the Holy Spirit. And before we jump into today's content, I want to review with you a little bit from last week. Last week, we introduced this series. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is something that has been taught on for many, 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 many years. And still to this day, when people hear about the Holy Spirit, when they hear about what happened on Pentecost in Acts chapter 1 and 2, you know, it makes them a little uncertain. It makes them a little nervous. But I'm here to demystify everything you've heard about the Holy Spirit, and we're going to look only at Scripture. In other words, I want to make the Holy Spirit very clear and easy to understand, okay? And here's what I know, that the only thing that is weird about the Holy Spirit is not the Holy Spirit himself, but it's when man's tradition got into the conversation, when church tradition got in, and when religion got in. So we want to remove all of those obstacles to God giving you his Holy Spirit to empower you for this new life that you have in Christ. And so that's what we're on a journey to do. And so the Holy Spirit is not scary. He's not weird. But people make it weird, right? And so we're here to make it clear and easy to understand in this four-part series. And last week, we asked the question, the Holy Who? Who is the Holy Spirit? And there's a few things that we talked about. First, we said that the Holy Spirit, and I already said this, he's the third person of the Holy Trinity. And so here's what we know. We know that the Holy Spirit, he's God, right? And so if you have a relationship with God, and you've made Jesus your Lord and Savior, then we know that you have the Holy Spirit. You have what is called the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And last week we also said that the Holy Spirit is promised by Jesus. Jesus said that he would send another after him. And we understand now that when Jesus said that he would send another advocate or another helper, what he's saying is, I'm going to send a duplicate of myself, because Jesus promises he would never leave us, he'd never forsake us. And so he's given us his Holy Spirit forever. And so Jesus is God's gift to the world, but the Holy Spirit is God's gift to the church. So when Jesus ascended to heaven, he didn't leave us alone. He didn't leave us to walk this life alone, but to leave us with his Spirit, which is a spirit. It gives us power, and it helps the church continue to reach people that are lost. And it was when the Holy Spirit filled the followers of Jesus, it was that moment that the church was birthed. And it's because of the work of the Holy Spirit that the church is still alive today. all of these years later. It's why the gospel began to spread from Jerusalem, and it's why the gospel still spreads today, is because of the work of the Holy Spirit. And so we know the Holy Spirit, he's the third person, the Holy Trinity, which means the Holy Spirit is God. And the Holy Spirit was promised by Jesus. Jesus was God's gift to the world. The Holy Spirit is God's gift to the church. And third of all, the Holy Spirit is here to help. And that's not scary. That's great news that the Holy Spirit is here to help. And here's what we know. It's not just hard to live the Christian life. It's impossible. And we need the Holy Spirit. So we know that the Holy Spirit helps us. It helps to convict. In other words, he convinces us of our spiritual need. The Holy Spirit leads us and brings us to salvation. And the Holy Spirit sanctifies us. In other words, he just gets us freed up from all of our junk and gets us cleaned up. And it's a word we use. It says that we are to be holy, that we are to be cleansed and then set apart. Set apart for what? For God's purposes. So in other words, the Holy Spirit, he convinces you you need God. He gets you freed up. And then he sets your life on course, a purpose that God has for your life. And he cleans you up to do that. So that's kind of a last week's review. And today, I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. But I want to talk about the three baptisms. Because when we have the conversation of the Holy Spirit, people automatically think of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And so, but really, I want to show you scripturally that there are three baptisms. All three of these baptisms, the Lord wants for all of his believers. And so if you're a follower of Christ, then when you hear baptism, I'm sure you think baptism in water. And we'll talk about that. But there are three specific baptisms. Each baptism is a separate experience, and it is for the believer. It's for you. And so I want to show you this, but let's look at baptism. The word baptism, it simply means to dip, to dip or immerse or cleanse by washing. And so that makes sense because we know when we celebrate people in baptism, we celebrate people being baptized in water, it's when they are being fully immersed or being dipped in water. And so that is what baptism means. It is to be dipped, fully immersed, cleansed by washing. And so the first baptism I want to show you, the very first baptism that is for every person. This is what we pray for. This is why we outreach. This is why we preach Jesus. It's so the people can experience this first baptism. The first baptism is to be baptized into Jesus. Also, you could say this is a baptism of salvation, a baptism of repentance. And simply put, that this first baptism is to be immersed in Jesus. So when you got saved, you experienced a baptism into Jesus. And I would also note that it is the Holy Spirit who is the baptizer of people into Jesus. Now I want to show you this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, it says, "For in one spirit we were all baptized in one body." So it's the Spirit who baptizes, and he baptizes us into one body. He baptizes us into Jesus Christ. And so that's the first baptism, is the baptism of salvation. When you put your trust in Jesus and you fully believe in him, you are placed into Christ. You are immersed into Christ. And let's look at the next verse. Romans 6:11 says, "In the same way, count yourselves," look at this, "dead to sin, but alive," look at it, "in Christ." So when you receive salvation, you are baptized into salvation, you are put in Christ Jesus, immersed into him. So that is the first baptism, the baptism of salvation. Look at Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." To be fully immersed into Jesus, it is the baptism of salvation. So here's what I would say about the baptism of salvation. It's the baptism of salvation is you becoming new. It's you becoming new. It is a new life with the baptism of salvation. And the Holy Spirit is the baptizer of salvation. Remember, it's the Holy Spirit. He helps us do three things. He helps convince us, he helps save us, and he helps sanctify us. So the Holy Spirit leads us into this work of salvation where you are becoming new. Now, in this series, this is what I'm really excited about. We, for the next 3 weeks, we are actually going to give every single person an opportunity to not just learn about the three baptisms, but to experience the three baptisms right here in this series. And so here's the thing. If you have not experienced the baptism of salvation, in other words, if you have not been found in Christ, you've not put your trust in him, you've not surrendered your life to him, you can have this opportunity, not like next week, or you can have it right now. Like right now, there's nothing you need to wait for to receive this baptism and salvation, to receive the free gift of salvation. You see, getting your life right with God, it is not like trying to get a new truck. When you want to buy a new truck, you know, you're going to save your money. You're going to wait for the right time. You're going to try to maybe pay down some of your debts because you really want that new truck. And because you want to pull a boat, you want to get a camper, you want to do all these fun things, but you got to get the truck. And so you're going to save up, you're going to pay down debts, and then you're going to wait to find the right truck at the right time. And when the moment is right and all of your accounts are settled, you're going to buy that truck, right? Well, getting your life right with God is not even close to getting a new truck, because Jesus has already paid the price for your salvation. He's already paid the price for the forgiveness of sin, and you can get right with God here, now, today. You can experience a baptism of salvation, and you can become new. You can be made new in Christ Jesus here today, right now. So listen, you can have an opportunity to change your life forever. You don't have to wait for the right moment. You don't have to wait till your debts are paid down, because Jesus has already canceled your debts. This is a free gift that you just need to receive, is the baptism of salvation. Now, the second baptism for every believer is the baptism by water. This is the one that you're probably most familiar with, is the baptism of water. So if you are saved, if you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you consider yourself to be a follower of him, then baptism in water, man, it is for you. It is for you. We walk in baptism because we follow in Jesus' example. In Mark 1:9, Jesus was baptized. So, well, as believers, we get baptized in water, one, out of obedience, and two, it is an incredible opportunity to go public with your faith. It is an opportunity to say, I am going to follow Jesus all the days of my life. It's a public declaration of your faith. The third thing is that water baptism is an outward sign of an inward work. In other words, it's a symbolic thing that Jesus has already changed you on the inside. And water baptism just signifies what God has done in you. So I would say a couple things. One, baptism does not save you. It does not save you. And so, like, if you've not been baptized, but you've given your life to Christ, you're definitely saved. And don't let anybody tell you any different. So the act of baptism doesn't save you, as if our salvation could have anything to do with what we can do. So that's works-based to say that you have to be baptized to be saved. But it is symbolic of the salvation work that God has already done on the inside of you. So water baptism, then, we know, then is a separate experience. So water baptism is a separate experience from the experience of salvation. And it is for every believer. Every believer will follow Jesus in obedience to be baptized. Now, let me show you in Scripture, Romans 6:4. It says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism. Buried with who? Well, he's speaking of being buried with Christ. Jesus, after his crucifixion, he was buried in the tomb. Remember, 3 days. And every Easter we celebrate that Jesus rose from the dead, that what was dead came back to life. And so therefore, we were buried with him through baptism. So when you go down under the water, it's symbolic of the old you being buried with Christ into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may experience new life. So water baptism is a symbolic thing of what God did in the inside of you when you received him, and that you, the old you, is being buried with Christ, and you're being raised to walk in a brand new life. Come on, isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? Now look at this. Let's look at the next verse. Colossians 2:12, it says, "For when you were baptized, you were buried with Christ, and in baptism you were also raised with Christ." Come on, this is a good word. So watch this. Water baptism illustrates that the old you has passed away. So if the baptism of salvation is you becoming new, well then water baptism is an illustration, it's symbolic, that the old you is done, is buried with Christ. You're no longer old. You're a new creation. You're walking in new life, okay? And so this is why we also now need the Holy Spirit. So there's a third baptism that you can experience. And actually next Sunday, we are going to give people the opportunity to be baptized in this way, to be baptized in water. And then a week after that, we'll continue to walk through the journey of these three baptisms. And here's the third one. The third baptism is to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, this is the one that people think, I don't know, that sounds like a Pentecostal thing, and some of them are weird. And listen, the Holy Spirit is not weird. People have made him weird, but he's not weird at all. And so there are these three baptisms. I'm going to show you all three in Scripture. I'm going to show you all three. That all three baptisms are for the believer, and that God wants you to walk through each of these steps to go further and deeper. He wants to he doesn't want to just save your life. He doesn't want to just clean you out from the old man, but he also wants to empower you to live this new life. And so he wants you to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So the first baptism was salvation. The second was to clean out the old man. Now, I'm going to show you these in all four Gospels. Now, we have four Gospels. Remember, a Gospel is simply a book of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's considered a Gospel because it records the life of Jesus. Now, out of these four Gospels, you'll see a lot of the stories that seem very similar. Now, three books specifically are very similar in content, and we call these the synoptic Gospels, or in other words, they are similar. They're synoptic Gospels, and that is Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They really all focus on the last year of Jesus' ministry. And then you have the book of John out here. And John, he really focuses on all 3 years of Jesus' ministry. And so although all four record the life of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, and Luke are synoptic. And so there's a lot of things in one gospel that's not in the other three, and so on and so forth. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit, check it out. It's in all four. I'm going to show them to you right now. So first in Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist, he says, "I baptize you with water for what? For repentance. But after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. And he, Jesus, will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire." Let's look what Mark says. Mark also records this thing, and he's, "I baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Luke also records this very thing, and he says, Jesus answers them all, "I baptize with water," or John answered them all, "I baptize with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I'm not even worthy to untie." And what will Jesus do? He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, John, he's not in the synoptic gospel group, but he also records this, and look what John says. John says, "And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain.'" And when did the Spirit come down on this man? At Jesus' baptism. Remember, we saw the Son, the Holy Spirit. We saw the Father. He descended like a dove, and the Spirit came down on Jesus. And so that's who it's talking about. The Spirit came, whom you see the Spirit come down and remain on is the one who will watch baptized with the Holy Spirit. All four Gospels speak of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That tells me that this is for all of you. This is for everybody. Every believer should receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it is also a separate experience in itself. So we know that the baptism of salvation is separate from the baptism of water, and it's separate from the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now I want to remind you that the baptism of salvation is you, what? Becoming the new you, right? Water baptism illustrates that the old you is passed away, buried with Christ. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit gives you the power to walk in new life. So God's whole plan for you, his whole plan is to get you new, get the old stuff out of you. In other words, he wants to get you free, but then he wants to give you power to then walk in new life. And whenever you've experienced something new, whether you got a new job or you've got a new child or you got a new car or you got a new thing, you kind of have to learn it, right? You kind of have to have help. You need instruction. Well, when you have this new life in Jesus and you got this new freedom, God wants to give you his Holy Spirit to give you the power to walk in this new life. And that's what we're talking about. Now, if I still haven't convinced you of these three baptisms, of salvation, of water, and of the Holy Spirit, I want to show you all three. I'm going to show you all three baptisms in one verse. I'm going to show you to you multiple times. So first, I'm going to take you to Acts chapter 18. We're going to be verse 12 and then 14 through 17. It says, but when they believed, so when you believe, you are saved, right? You believed, you received the message of Jesus. So when they believed, they experienced which baptism? The first baptism, the baptism of salvation. When they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, look, they were baptized. So here we see they were baptized first in salvation when they believed. Second, they were baptized in water, both men and women. And then we go on to verse 14, and it says, and when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, right, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might then receive the Holy Spirit. So they received Jesus. They were baptized in water, but there was a third experience, a third baptism that was to receive the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. So that's how we know this is a separate experience. And the last part, it says, they had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and then they received the Holy Spirit. So there's all three baptisms right there with the Samaritans. Now let's look at Acts chapter 19. Acts 19 says, there he found some disciples. How do you become a disciple? That you've experienced the first baptism, the baptism of salvation. And he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? A separate experience. They answered, no, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Watch what happens. So Paul asked, well, then what baptism did you receive? They said, John's baptism, they replied. And Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. Remember, the first baptism of salvation is a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, and that is in Jesus. Watch what happens. On hearing this, they were then baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they received the baptism of repentance, which is the first baptism. It's the baptism of salvation. And now they're receiving the second baptism of water, being baptized into the Lord Jesus. And then Paul, watch this, he placed his hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came on them. And they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. And that's the third baptism. So right there in Acts 19, we just saw all three baptisms taking place in that moment. Let's look at 1 John 5:7-8. It says, for there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, the blood, and all three are in agreement. All three are in agreement. So the Spirit is the baptism of Holy Spirit, water, baptism of water, and the blood of Jesus that was shed for salvation and forgiveness of sin, you bet, it's the baptism of salvation. Now, if I still haven't convinced you yet that there are three baptisms, I want to take you way back. I want to take you way back in the Old Testament, thousands and thousands of years ago, before Jesus ever came, before these words were ever written, before those words were ever spoken. I want to show you that we see these three steps of salvation, of water, and of the Holy Spirit. These three baptisms that are illustrated, I would even say prophesied, in the building of the tabernacle. Now, what was the tabernacle? The tabernacle was called the dwelling place of God. And when you read in the Old Testament about Moses, they would set up this portable tent. And in that tent was where they would offer sacrifices each year for the forgiveness of sin. And in that, and then within that tent was the Holy of Holies, which is where the Ark of the Covenant was. And they said was where the presence of God dwelt. And so watch, look at this illustration. So we see this tabernacle, this large box, and when you enter in the gate, and remember Jesus says, I am the gate. When you enter the gate, you come to an altar at the tabernacle. And at the altar, this is where sacrifices would take place. So at this altar, it would kind of be messy, kind of be a bloody thing. This was the altar where the blood of the lamb was sacrificed. Now, what we know now, all those years later, what they figured out was, oh my goodness, this altar represented the blood of Jesus all along, that he is the Lamb of God that was slain for the forgiveness of all sin at all time. And so Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. And so at this altar, you would have the blood of the lamb. Now, right after that, you would go further. And remember, the whole point is to get here. The whole point is to get to the Holy of Holies. The whole point is to get to God, to get in his presence. So it takes the blood of the lamb, and then you would have to wash with water at the laver. The laver was a bowl of water that then you would have to wash to be cleansed. And after that, and in the tabernacle, there was a jar or a flask of oil that all the priests, they had to be anointed with oil. Every piece of furniture in the tabernacle had to be anointed with oil so that it would be set apart for the work of God. And we know oil has represented the Holy Spirit. So right here in the tabernacle, in these steps getting to the holy, most holy place of God, we see the blood of the lamb at the altar, we see the washing of water, and we see being anointed with oil, which represents the Holy Spirit. So here's all three baptisms. Look at this. So that means that the altar represents salvation, and the laver represents water baptism, and the oil represents the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's all over the Bible. In the Old Testament, in the New Testament, in all four Gospels, we in the book of Acts, and throughout the writings of the New Testament, we see that there are three things that God is wanting to walk every single person through. He wants to get you saved, and he wants to get you cleaned up. He wants to get you cleaned up, and then he wants to empower you to live this life. And the Holy Spirit, he'll convince you, he'll save you, and also sanctify you and empower you to live your life on purpose, to have a mission, that you are empowered to live the mission by the Holy Spirit. So that's the three baptisms, of salvation, of water, and of the Holy Spirit. Now if you're a believer, you received the baptism of salvation by faith. And it was by faith and through obedience that you walked in obedience through water baptism. In the same way that you received the first baptism, and it's the same way that you can receive the third baptism, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not weird, friend. It's power. It's power. And God wants to give you the power to live this life. You know, have you ever seen a follower of God and you wonder, man, how can they be so confident in their faith? How can they be so confident of their call? How can they be so confident in the way they serve, in the way they give, in the way they shine their light in this world? How can they be so confident? The Holy Spirit empowers people to live their new life. Remember, the first baptism of salvation is the new you, is you becoming new. And the second is putting the rest, the old self is gone. And the Holy Spirit will then empower you to live this new life. Now listen, if you've not received that very first baptism, in other words, if you have not surrendered your life to Jesus, you don't need to wait. You don't need to wait for the right time, the right moment. You don't need to pay down any of your debts because it's all been canceled. You need to receive it like a free gift. And you can do that in the quietness of your heart right there, wherever you are, wherever you're hearing this from, wherever you're watching this. You can just surrender yourself to Jesus and choose to walk in his ways. And if you are a believer in Jesus and you've never followed the Lord in obedience to water baptism, listen, you can do that next week here at New Life Church. You can come next week and be baptized in water, and it'll be a symbolic moment of the old you gone, and walking in new life. Let me pray for you today. Father, I just pray for every person watching this, all of our church members, all of our friends and family, all of those that are checking in today. God, I pray, God, that you would move in our hearts, that you always have a step for us to take. God, you always want us to go deeper in our faith walk with you. And for somebody, that means they need to take the very first step, and that is to accept you, to follow you, that you, God, you desire to make them new. And then, God, there's those that need to follow you in obedience in the baptism. We know baptism doesn't save us, but God, we want to have this symbolic moment that the old is gone and the new has come. And God, I pray that the New Life Church, that the followers of Jesus, God, we would walk in power of your promised Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, New Life Church, thank you so much for joining us today. If this is your first time joining us and you'd like to learn a little bit more about New Life Church, you can text the word CONNECT to the number 765-347-9127. If you're a regular New Lifer and you'd like to continue your worship through giving, there are three different ways you can give. You can give on our website, newlifeforkokomo.org. You can mail your giving to the church. The address is 1803 East Vale Avenue, Kokomo, Indiana, 46901. Or you can text New Life for Kokomo to the number 77977. Again, thank you so much for joining us, and we hope to see you guys next time.